Okay, so what I have for you today is fresh, okay? It's fresh for me. Have you ever, like, learned something that you, like, were supposed to have known it already? Yeah? Like, you're like, oh, I just learned this, but I was supposed to have already known it? Yeah, that's this, okay? So you guys heard a little bit of my story. Let's pray. God, we are so thankful that we can come before you in all that who we are. It doesn't matter where we've been, doesn't matter where we are. You love us for us. And for that, we are thankful. We're thankful that it doesn't matter about our age, what we look like. You see us as worthy. You see us as beautiful. When you see us, you see perfection because of your Son, Jesus Christ. And so, Father, we rejoice in that truth. We thank you. We praise you. God, as my mouth moves, as it can move fast, and I have a lot of thoughts that run through my brain, would you sift through them and make sure that they are only your words? Please purify my thoughts. Keep my intentions holy, that I would not want to get any glory for any of this truth that belongs to you, Father, but that your words would reign supreme. This session, I want our minds to be realigned with your word, which is truth. So, Father, we are expecting. We're expecting for us to walk out of this room different, encouraged, enlightened, and we worship you, God. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so we need blank paper. Amber, do you know where there's blank paper in this room?
I could probably find some.
Yeah, you be on the lookout because I was supposed to have 3x5 cards for you guys when you walked in, but I focused a lot on the coffee. Yeah, put two of those in there, the blue. I don't even know why I got half and half. It has no sugar in it. But some people, you know, that's what they choose. Okay, so you guys heard a little bit of my testimony this afternoon before I sang. Whew. There's so much more to that, though, right? With every story, with all of our stories, there's so much more to it. And what I would love to do is to sit down and hear, like, each of your stories. I know that that's, like, seems so cliche when you hear, like, a speaker. I would love to sit down with you and just have a cup of coffee. But it's because we really would love to sit down with you and have a cup of coffee. Like, I would love, oh, thank you. Oh, we are, some of us are having coffee. Let's taste it. I'll be real. I'll be honest. Crap, that was really hot. But it wasn't gross. No, I think it's gross. Honestly, I think it's the Keurig. I don't like the Keurig, how it puts out coffee.
There's no stir.
I got some. I got plastic ones. Yeah, just regular paper. It could be like lined, fine. Can everybody have one though? Okay, everybody have one. Oh man, I really burned myself. Can you get a couple of pens? Gosh, what would I do without my people? What would I do without my people? Use your own pen. Okay, yeah, you are going to give it to me if you so desire at the end. Yeah, raise your hand if you need a pen. Okay, what I want you to do on this piece of paper.
Oh, it's falling. I'm sorry, Lynn.
What I want you to do at this piece of paper is write on it an attribute or a trait or a characteristic of God that you struggle to believe in. Whether it's his kindness, his goodness, his love for you, whatever it is, write down something that you struggle to believe that God has for you, to you, something about God. I don't know. For me, what I struggle to believe about God, for example, is I struggle to believe that he is good, and I struggle to believe that his love for me is enough. So there's a little frame of reference, okay? Guys, I really burnt my tongue. I'm going to give you a minute maybe to write that down. Actually, a piece of paper is probably better so you can fold it. And then for the second thing, there's only two. Excuse me. Write something down that you do not have enough faith for God to do. For me, it's having for God to give me a child. So write something down that you have small faith for. Like, for sure, God's not going to do this. Or God can't do this. You know? And we're all being honest here. So write down what you... All right, while you're doing that, guys, I just landed on this, okay? I was going to talk to you from Haggai, or how some other people would like to say Haggai, just whatever you would like, however you like to say that. That fell through, like, so fast. So I'm trying to decide how far back to go with this story.
What was the second?
Oh, good. The second one is something that you don't have big enough faith for. You don't. Your faith is small in that God would do this. It doesn't have to be tangible. It could be, you know. So, I grew up in a very legalistic church. Does everybody know what that means? Raise your hand if you know what that means. Okay, to be legalistic is a church that says, or a place, I guess, that says, you have to be this in order to receive this. And y'all, correct me when I'm wrong, okay? You want to know what the second one is?
Yes.
That's fine. Yeah, speak up, girl. Okay, something that you have a small faith for, something that you may not have faith for. For me, it's having a child. I don't believe that God is going to give me a child. I kind of believe that he's going to give me a child now, but we're going to go through that. Okay. So the type of church that I grew up in basically said this. If you don't wear a skirt on Sunday mornings, you cannot be a true Christian. If you do not use the King James Version only, you cannot be a Christian. Okay. So this is the type of church that I grew up in. They said a lot of things, lived very differently. If music that you were listening to had drums, you were pregnant, okay? Like, that's the way that they thought, and it was completely incorrect, but that's the way that I grew up. Very, you have to do in order to receive. So for me, the love of Jesus was unattainable. I could never earn it. So that's how I grew up, got married, moved away from California, which is where I was born and raised, moved away from that church, away from that toxic environment. And the irony is, in that church, there was a lot of sin, a lot of immoral things happening, and it all got swept under the rug. So not a super way to grow up, but it is. It's where God placed me. And so... In God's word, he says, the world will know that you are mine based off of your love. And the church is a place that is supposed to be God's love. And when a church isn't, they give us a really, I'm on recording, but I'm going to say a really crappy view of God. So my view of God was distorted by hurt people hurting other people, hurt Christians hurting other Christians. So I get married, we move away, and I get married to a super awesome guy. I marry into a spectacular family. I mean, the Vaughns are real, okay? Like, there is no facade. I grew up with a facade. So when I met them, I was very, very serious about making sure that they were the real deal. Because if his parents are the real deal, then he's the real deal. So all worked out. And by this point, nothing major in my life had happened to really shake my faith. So I thought that I was a pretty much a faith-filled kind of gal, you know. I can totally handle hard things. It's fine. Well, a real hard thing entered into my life, and couldn't have children. And I tell you, like, I was a child when I wanted a child. Like, I wanted to be with a mom. And I actually remember being a little girl and being like, God, listen, you can do anything you want. Just don't not let me have a child. I really said that. That's crazy, right? Yeah. So I get married. Year one and a half, we were like, oh, you know, we don't want to get pregnant. So we did things not to get pregnant, right? Okay. Year three rolls around, and we're like, you know, we would like to start a family. So 1 year goes by, 2 years goes by. Man, we've been working at this, and it's just not happening. So, bummer. We go and get some help. My first fertility treatment, I knew 1,000% that God was going to give us a child. I sat at the feet of Jesus, and I said, I'm going to thank you in advance for this child, because I know you're going to use this treatment to give us a baby. No doubt. Obviously, he chose not to give us a baby, and that rocked my world. Anytime you believe so strongly for something and it doesn't happen, that'll shake you. And my faith was shaken. And the reason why I gave you the backstory of the way I grew up is because that tells a lot of the way I viewed God. I've been doing everything right. My husband was the first guy I ever kissed, let alone was intimate with. I have been doing everything right. And you can't give me a child? What else do I have to do, God? Like, these are real things that I've said to him. I've done everything right. And then one of our good friends, he's immoral and he's married. He cheats on his wife. They end up reconciling. By God's grace, so thankful for that. The first time they get back together, she gets pregnant. And I was like, oh, heck no. I was so angry. This kid who is unfaithful to his wife gets a child, and my husband, who's been faithful to me for 6 years, doesn't. What? So my experiences, to me, are not lining up with a good God. Because if God were good, he would give to me what I think is good, right? No, that's not how he works. He gives to us what he sees as good for us. So that was my journey of what some may call deconstruction. Has anybody ever heard that word? Okay. It's a really popular word, and I don't prefer that word. I listened to a podcast where this guy gave a much better word. It's called auditing, which they do with, like, money, okay? I can't go much into it because I don't know much about it, but they do it with money. So his logic is if they do it with money and they audit their books and they make sure that everything lines up, then I should be auditing my faith. The way I grew up, I was told this about God, and because I was young and influential or easily influenced, I believed him. If I have to earn God's love, okay, I'll believe you and I'll do my best to earn it. But I couldn't. So this is how I've spent my life, my years of growing up. And now, when I've done everything right and I'm not getting that one thing that I want, God, you cannot be good. There's no way that you can be kind. You have got to be a liar, because I have done everything right, and I don't have that one thing to show for it, that one thing that I want. And everybody in this room has that one thing, or a couple of things, whatever. But we all have that one thing that we believe we deserve, that one thing we really want, and it could be a good thing. Having children is a good thing. But God sees it not good for me now. And so because of this journey, because of this suffering, what's that?
I don't know.
Oh. It's fine. That the building's burning up, but it's fine. Oh, please don't. It's not going to keep doing it. So I find myself here in this, bless you. I find myself here in this spot of, and when I say new revelation, guys, I mean brand new. It was like the past 2 weeks to where I've been so confused and asking these questions. And it wasn't until now that God revealed it to me because I wasn't ready to hear it. I wasn't ready. If he would have told me this 2 years ago, 3 years ago, I would not have been ready to receive this truth. So over a course of, I'm a big podcast listener, I love podcasts, listening to podcasts, speaking to my people, a couple of my people are right back there, Irma, one of my persons, Mo, Oregon, call her Mo, one of my persons, Amber, one of my persons, find your people and tell them your things, okay? It's a game changer. Also biblical, who would have thought? So I find my people, I mean, I pour all of myself into them, and what they give me is truth, what they give me is insight, what they give me is validation, what they give me is they see me, they hear me. And so processing all of these things, all of these questions. And when our first treatment failed, I kid you not, I looked at the face of God and I was like, listen, if my faith has no bearing or no sway with what you do, then why am I going to have faith in you at all? What's the point? Right? That's logical, right? Why would I have, which I'm not a logical person, okay? So like the fact that I had this logical thought, it was not true, but the fact that I had it was pretty impressive. So I asked this to God and he's so good and so patient. He's so good and so patient. And he allows me to ask the questions and he allows me to hurt and he allows me to be broken. Only a good God can see his children breaking and allow them to break to the point of being at the very bottom because he knows that that is what's going to bring you to me and I am what is best for you. Only a good God. So I'm like, okay, there's like this cycle that keeps happening. I read my Bible, I pray, I'm doing good, and then I dip. Okay, get back out, read my Bible, pray, and I'm good, and then I dip. And I'm like, man, what is this cycle? Amber, it's okay.
I'm just shutting the door.
Yeah, just shut the door. It's not like...
I tried to find Jonathan. But
nothing's like burning down. Yeah, we'll be fine. Just ignore it. So I found myself in this vicious cycle, and I think something's got to change. So Amber came over to my house one day, and we're sitting in a hammock. We're sitting in two hammocks, although it would have been fine if we were sitting in one, but we were like talking to each other, so we were sitting, you know, like this. And I look at her and I was like, so I should have called you yesterday. I almost called. Actually, Irma was busy, but I almost called.
Sorry.
No. The day before, I almost called Amber and Morgan because I was in my car. And just everything was falling apart. I had no grip on anything. I couldn't grab hold of anything because nothing seemed stable. And the thought came to my head, Emily, call your people. No, I don't want them to see me in my mess. Like, I want them to see me after I'm over it. So I talked myself into not calling them, which we're really good at doing that, aren't we? So the next day, finally, I call Amber and I was like, do you want to come over? I think this is how it happened. It's kind of a blur. So I was like, yeah, come over. She had no idea that I was going to like lay out all of this junk. So she comes over, I'm small talk, you know, having a good time. And then we get into the hammocks and that's when things got real, okay? So I was like, so basically I'm falling apart and life is a mess and I don't even know God. Like, I don't even know if I want to believe him anymore and just like, bleh. And this girl, she looks at me and just allows me to break and then completely validates all my feelings, which is so nice when that happens. But then also it's like, but also here's truth. Like, I know you're feeling all of these things, but trade it for truth. And that's what got the ball, like, rolling. Once I spoke all of the things out, it became lighter and it became manageable. So I started managing these thoughts that were coming out of my mind. Girls, these are the thoughts. I put them in four things. Four things that I believe about God that are not consistent with His Word. This is what I believe about God. He is not kind. He is not good. He thinks, feels, loves, and hurts just like me. Therefore, He is not consistent. He changes. And the fourth one is, I believe that God is a liar. Now, if I believe all these things, doesn't it make sense that God, that this God is not enough for me? Yeah, that makes sense. Doesn't it make sense that I would be scared to enter into the presence of this God because I would be afraid that He wasn't going to be there? I was going to be afraid that He wasn't going to accept me for me? Of course. Like, once God gave this to me, I was like, oh, no wonder why I was not satisfied by You. No wonder. If I believe all these things about You, of course You're not good enough. Like, of course. So then I had to do what is right, go to the Word. Because in my auditing of all of these things that I've been told growing up, all of these, and it's not even just from my childhood, not even from my church, but when hurt enters and we don't bring it to God, we are going to give ourselves an answer because we're human and we need an answer. I need to know why this is happening. So if I have hurt and I answer it with hurt and I answer that hurt with experiences, because my experiences are telling me that God's not good. So the answers that I'm getting here are this. He isn't kind. He isn't good. He changes. And He's a liar. So God was like, listen, this is what you need to do. And I was like, what? You have these lies. Take them to My Word and see if they're true. That's what I was going to say. In all of my auditing, one thing I've never doubted, is that God's Word is true. There are some people in the world who doubt. You know, they can be Christians, and then they all of a sudden doubt that God's Word is true. If you doubt that God's Word is true, then, yeah, I don't blame you for walking away from the Christian faith. But His Word is true. And that's proven in many, many different ways. We're not going to get into all that. But, like, science does a lot of proving. I'm like, okay, so it's real. I would say trust me, but don't trust me. Go figure it out for yourself. Because trusting people is what kind of got me into the whole mess. I mean, you can trust people who are into the Word, okay? And I'm saying the people that I grew up with. A little. So I take my lies and I put them against God's Word, which I have never doubted to be true. Sometimes I doubted it to be true for me, because I leaned into my feelings more than I leaned into the truth of the thing. And I chose my feelings more than just choosing to trust truth. So, He isn't kind. That was the first lie. Psalms 119:76. So now we're just going to dive into a bunch of scripture, okay? So just like, don't open your Bibles. That sounds wrong. But don't open your Bibles. Just listen. And just we are going to have the truth of God just like pour all over us. What time is it? Oh, crap. I need to stop saying that word. All right. He isn't kind. Is that true? Psalms 119:76 says, let, I pray thee, thy merciful kindness for me be my comfort, according to thy word unto thy salvation. Psalms 36:7, how excellent is thy loving kindness, O God. Therefore, the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings. Ephesians 4:32 says, and be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Psalm 63:3, because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Which that verse is crazy. Because your love is better than life, I will praise you. If God's word is true, He just said that his love, his kindness, is better than life. Okay. For me, that rings, hey, my love for you is better than a baby, better than the life of a baby. Okay. Okay. If I'm going to choose to believe it, then Jeremiah 9:24 says, but let him that glorifieth, sorry, King James is hard, guys. But let him that glorifieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord which exercise loving kindness, judgment and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. Okay, he just said that he delights in exercising loving kindness towards us. Wow. Jeremiah 32:18 says, the Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Titus 3:4-7. But after the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. So the lie is that he isn't kind. Based off of Scripture, is that true? Is it true? No. He is kind. That's the truth. The next lie is he isn't good. My circumstances tell me that God is not good. Ezra 3:11 says, and they sang together by chorus in praising and giving thanks unto the Lord, because he is good. 1 Chronicles 16:34 says, we'll give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. His mercy endureth forever. EX stands for Exodus, right? Mm-hmm. Okay. Exodus 34:6 says, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering, and abundant in goodness and truth. I have a lot for this one because it's the one I struggle with the most. Psalms 25:8 says, good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, he will teach sinners the way. Psalms 145:9, the Lord is good to all. And his tender mercies are over all his works. Anybody doubt that God's good to them? Yep. He says that he's good to all. So if you believe that he's not good, you're believing a lie. If his word is true, and I believe his word is true, James 1:17 says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom there is, that shouldn't be there. Oh, yeah, it should, because God gives good gifts. But this also, this verse should be down here. It's a good one, though. Psalms 27:13 says, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Yeah. That verse gets me, because if God would not have revealed these lies to me, I was going to be down for the count. And choosing to trade the lies for truth, I get to experience the goodness of God in the land of the living. Psalms 145, verses 5-7, I will speak of the glorious honor of thy majesty and of wondrous works, and men shall speak of the mighty of thy terrible acts, and I will declare the greatness. They shall abundantly utter the memory of thy great goodness and shall sing of thy righteousness. Psalms 34:8, O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusts in him. And Psalms 107, verses 8-9. Oh, that men would praise the Lord of his goodness for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he satisfieth the longing soul, and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. So not only is he good, but he gives us good. And he fills our hunger with goodness. So the lie is he isn't good. But the truth is, based off of his word, he is good. Girls, this is simple. But it's true. The third lie that I have found myself believing is he thinks, feels, loves, and hurts just like me. So therefore, he's not consistent. My thinking is not consistent. The way I feel, we all know it's not consistent. The way I love others, the way I love myself, the way I love God, that is not consistent. So if I believe that God does all of those things the same as me, then he's not consistent and he changes. Let's see if that's consistent with the Bible. Psalms 33:11 says, "The counsel of the Lord standeth forever, the thoughts of his heart to all generations." Forever is forever. So if he says forever, then it's not going to change. James 1:17, every good gift, yeah, see, I did it twice. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, means it doesn't change, neither shadow of turning. Solid. Matthew 19:26, but Jesus looked at them and said, with man, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. Jeremiah 31:3 says, the Lord hath appeared of me of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting, again, if it's everlasting, it doesn't change, with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Psalms 102:27, but thou art the same, and thy years shall have no end. Okay, he's the same. Oh, this one. Hebrews 13:8. Jesus Christ, the same, yesterday, and today, and forever. Okay, so he doesn't change. Malachi 3:6. For I am the Lord. I change not. All right. Numbers 23:19. God is not man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and he shall not do? Or hath he spoken, and he shall not make it good? So, God is not consistent is the lie. What's the truth? He is consistent in all that he says and all that he does. All right, and the last lie is he's a liar. This blows my mind that I really believe this. Because if God's a liar, then he is not God. So let's see if it's true. Numbers 23:19 says, God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? Hebrews 6:18 says that by two immutable things in which it was possible for God, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. Because God cannot lie, he is my refuge that I can trust. He is my hope that I can trust. You guys... Like, this is why I'm saying this is so fresh. I'm rereading these for, like, the 100th time, and it's still, like, oh, this is truth, Emily. This is truth. 1 Samuel 15:29. And also, the strength of Israel will not lie, nor repent, for he is not a man. All right. 2 Timothy 2:13 says, If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. John 17:17 says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. 1 John 5:20 says, And we know that the Son of God is come and hath given us an understanding that we may know him that is true. And we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is true God and eternal life. This is the true God and eternal life. So the lie is that he's a liar. That's a lie. The truth is, he cannot lie. Like, not only does he not lie, but he, like, can't. That's what the word says. So this process that we just went through, it's pretty simple, right? Like, it's pretty simple just to take the lie and find the truth. But it is that simple. And it just takes us doing that every day, every moment of every day. Taking every thought captive and making it submissive to Christ. Yeah. If there is a thought and it is not true and it does not please God, it has to be a lie. So all of these things, I am still working not to continue to believe. I have not arrived. I don't know if you can tell, but I am like, I have not arrived. I know I'm sitting here and I'm talking to you and I'm teaching you a session, but honestly, you guys could probably teach a session. It's just talking about what we're learning. And I am learning to take better inventory of my beliefs, to make sure that what people are saying, that what people are living around me, I am constantly running it through the word. So on that paper that you guys wrote on, we're gonna do like an exercise, and it's really fun. Okay. No, don't worry, nobody's talking. You don't have to talk. So on that paper, if you would like to participate in this challenge, I want you to write your name, your phone number. That sounds weird, right? I don't know how long that was squished in there. And I want you to write down your Instagram handle, okay? These are really strange requests. Reason being, we just rehearsed who God is. He's pretty great, right? He's pretty cool, pretty great, pretty powerful, pretty faithful. I, with you, if you would like to participate, I'm going to spend the next year resting in this truth. Now, that's going to ebb and flow because we ebb and flow. That's going to take a lot of intentionality on all of our part. But whatever it is that you have a hard time believing of who God is, whatever it is you have a hard time believing that God will do, this time next year, I'm going to text, I would say call, but I am a millennial, I don't like talking on the phone. Okay, I'm going to text you and find out if God did the thing. And if he chose not to do the thing, I'm going to ask you what he did in you. Because if we truly are abiding in the vine, staying close to truth, rehearsing truth, it will not happen overnight. This takes practice. This takes intentionality. Next year, you will be different, despite what you have or what you have not. We will be different. I am choosing to take this challenge. I will spend every day as if that day matters, because it does. I've also believed a lie that not every day matters. I don't know where that came from, but every day does matter. Today, this moment matters to God, and we will take an account for it, actually. So, what is today? 25th. So, 25. Wait, what month are we in? So, 3, 25, 23. You're going to get a text from a random number that's going to say, hey, this is Emily. And I'm going to ask where you've been. Where you are. I mean, not where you've been, where you are. And then the reason why I asked for your Instagram handle is because I'm what I would like to do, and I will ask your permission when it comes to that moment, is share your story without a name if you so choose. But we are in this together. Share your story. Share what God has done. I was going to do Facebook, but who in here has a Facebook? Yeah, right?
I don't have Instagram either.
Okay, well, I'll share your story in a different way. But the majority of us have Facebook or Instagram. So I'm really looking forward to seeing how God changes us. I'm looking forward to what he will do, like tangibly what he will do. But more so, I'm looking forward to seeing how he's going to change our hearts and our minds and our focus, just like Carol has been speaking. It's all a focus change. It's just transferring our focus to him. And it's that constant transfer of focus that is what's going to keep us on the way. So that's all I got for you girls. I don't know if we're ending early or late, but it kind of sounds like they're still talking, so probably early. But let me pray for you. Father, we just went through your word and we sought truth. We rehearsed truth. Excuse me. And it was good. Even right now, God, I feel like a hypocrite because my feelings have not met this truth just yet. My feelings are still ringing in the back of my mind, saying, but look at your circumstances. How can any of that be true? So in this moment, for the rest of this year, God, may we test your word. May we test your word to see if it's true. And I say this in confidence because you've already passed, your word's already passed the test. But in your grace, God, in your mercy, would you show each of us, would you intimately show each of us who you are through your word, God? We want to know you. We want to know who you truly are, the God of the Bible, Yahweh. I am Alpha and Omega, creator of this universe, creator of us. We want to know you. So would you help us to write down these lies that we're believing and then to go through your word and see how those lies are what they are, lies. Help us, God, to audit our beliefs. Help us to know from your word what is truly true and what is not. And when we find out the truth, help us, God, to trust that truth. Help us not to rely on our feelings, but rather to rely on your word. So, Father, we are expecting. God, would you give us grace and forgiveness for our unbelief? But this time next year, we will be different because you will have stepped in and we will have let you change us. So help us to be obedient, God. We pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.